Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at windowskansascity.com.
Greetings from Austin, Texas, and a different kind of episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Great to have you with us on this Monday after a big weekend of sports and all kinds of things going on. We are wrapping up a nice vacation. We hope you enjoyed the interview podcast that we had on Thursday and Friday with Jamie Bluma and Mike Brown. Those were kind of fun. Hope you enjoyed those. We are back at it on this Monday after a big weekend of sports that was kind of highlighted with us here in Texas, enjoying the swimming pool, playing some golf at some really cool golf courses, and 85 degrees and sunshine pretty much every single day. It's been a terrific weekend filled with lots of great Mexican food, some Italian, and, well, we just generally had a great time. So we appreciate you understanding this episode's a little bit different than we normally have, but I wanted to share a couple thoughts on something we've experienced here before we get into the Masters this weekend and the Royals and Sporting Kansas City and the things that took place. It's so fun to travel on the road and get paired up with strangers, which is kind of a negative term when you think about, oh, we're playing with strangers, playing golf. You get to know people pretty well over four and a half hours playing golf. And the 2 days that we played, on Friday and Saturday, we were paired up with some really interesting people. The first day, we played with Michael, who was from Scotland and lives in Houston and has for 25 years, and Esteban, who goes by Steven and lives in Houston. It turns out these guys don't know each other, but they live 2 miles apart in Houston. They're here in Austin playing golf this weekend. But it was very fascinating listening to Michael tell stories about playing golf in Scotland, where I've never been, and Steven, who had brand new clubs, and I wrote this in the newsletter over the weekend for the patrons. He had brand new clubs because the other clubs that he had 2 weeks ago fell off a cliff. Literally, he has a walking cart and was playing at his club in Houston, and the wind was blowing so hard that the walking cart took off and started tumbling, and it went over a ledge into a marsh, into a swamp, like a pond, and it went deep down in. He had a watch in his bag. He had his iPhone in his bag. He had his wallet, pretty much everything. And this bag was down, and it was fairly deep water. So he couldn't see it. There's an alligator, apparently named Max, that lives in this swamp on this golf course. They all know him. They all stay away from this gator. And so here was Steven trying to figure out what the heck he's going to do with his golf clubs that are at the bottom of this marsh or swamp, as he calls it, because he can't get in the water because there's known to be a gator in there. And he waits about an hour, and they spot the gator over on the other side of the pond, and he literally goes in and gets all his stuff. The iPhone still works. He retrieved the watch. He has bagged the golf clubs and said, I'm getting new golf clubs. They were, I guess, a mess and maybe old anyway. One of the weirdest stories ever, and he couldn't wait to tell the story of why he had new irons, and we were like guessing all day. We had this game going all day, like, were you in a car wreck? Were they stolen? Did something bad happen? We thought maybe it was something at his house. Jessica said maybe his house is on a sinkhole. You know, this dude lost his golf clubs and had to get new ones. So it was really quite bizarre trying to figure the whole thing out. And then he told us the story. And I'm telling you what, there's no way I would have gone into that marsh and that swamp to get those golf clubs. I might have hired somebody to do it. But there is no way I would be going into some croggy bottom creek or swamp area where there's known to be gators in Houston and retrieve my golf clubs. They would just be gone. That would be it for me. But the most interesting things happen on the golf course. The next day, we're paired up with a couple of guys. A man named Charles owns and operates his sixth tech company. Six. He's on number six. He's bought and sold five. In September, he and his wife and their 11 and 12-year-old kids are taking 2 years off and traveling the world. For 2 years, they're going to homeschool their kids. He said it won't be long, they'll be driving, and they won't be around, and we're going to isolate and spend 2 years with our kids while we still can. They're going to start, I think he said maybe in Belgium or something like that, for 6 months in Europe. They're going to do 2 full years. Amazing. Just amazing that people are able to do something like that or would be committed to doing that. And I understand the guy's incredibly wealthy. I'm not sure even if I had that kind of dough, I could go for 2 years. Just go off the grid with my family for 2 years and travel the world. I said, man, I respect the living daylights out of you because that's going to be great time spent with your family. What a wonderful blessing. I just don't think I could do it. The other guy I was playing with, his name was RJ. He's an executive coach. I said, okay, what's an executive coach? He said, well, I've been in tech. Everybody in Austin's in tech. He said, I'm in tech. He was like 60 years old. He goes, I retired from it about 5 years ago and I became an executive coach. And he was trying to talk me into taking this podcast onto YouTube. He said, he's got a client that makes $1 million a month on YouTube and only has like 25,000 followers. I'm like, okay, I don't understand tech. I don't understand any of these. So he's an executive coach and he has all these people in technology that apparently he coaches. And that's not really like a life coach, but he's an executive coach. And I just find it fascinating who you get paired up and who you play with and the stories you tell. And of course, they always find Jessica to be quite interesting and fascinating and hear our story. And she was probably the best player over 2 days above what she normally is. She made a couple of really long putts. She drove the ball fantastically down here because the fairways are dry and hard and she would hit her drive low and it just runs and runs and runs. And we've just had a great time. It culminated with watching the Masters after our rounds of golf. As you know, I love this golf tournament. And I always lament the possibility of the Masters on Sunday being ruined by somebody that plays so well that it's not interesting. Tiger Woods used to do this a lot. I was never a big Tiger Woods fan because to me, he took the drama out of the game. I like the drama of golf. We saw a lot of drama at the Masters yesterday with pretty much everybody on the leaderboard except Scottie Scheffler. They were hitting it in the water on 11. They were plunking it in the bushes behind the green on 12. Everybody was making bogey, double bogey, and Scheffler was just cooking along at an unbelievable pace with 6 birdies in the last 11 holes to smoke the field and win by 4 over Ludwig Åberg, who played collegiately at Texas Tech a year ago and was playing in his first major and played very, very well, but finished second to Scottie Scheffler. And Scottie Scheffler's an easy guy to like. I've said it many times that if you had a neighbor and it was Scottie Scheffler, you'd just think, okay, I got a quality dude next door. He's just the guy next door, whatever. And that's Scottie Scheffler. He used his platform this week to speak broadly about his faith, about his Christianity. And he gave a quote at the end of the Masters yesterday after winning. He said, they were asking about golf or this and that. He goes, my identity is secure forever. And he said he told his friends that before the final round. They were having breakfast on Sunday. He said, my identity is secure forever because of my faith in Jesus. And I just thought it was great. He's not preachy. He's not over the top. It is sincere. It's honest. He is a terrific man. And he's the most unbelievable iron player I've ever seen. So when we think about the great golfers, we think about guys who get on a tear. You know, Nicklaus would just putt and putt and make putts. Tiger was so dramatic, saving pars. You know, he'd be behind a tree and he'd draw one or hook one and it would roll up there and somehow he'd find a way to save par. He was a very dramatic, flamboyant golfer. Scottie Scheffler is the most boring golfer in the history of golf. He just makes birdies. His iron play is insane. He hit several iron shots yesterday inside 5 feet, and the game gets really easy when you hit it that close to the hole. You're almost surprised as you watch him play that the ball doesn't go in the cup more often than it does because he scares it right and left. And he did that on Sunday. And it's not just like his 7-iron or something like that. It's every iron in his bag, including all the wedges around the green. He has 10 hole-outs this year. In 35 rounds, he's holed out 10 times. That's ridiculous. That's impossible. He is an absolute magician with his iron play. He is in 35 professional rounds this year on the toughest golf courses in the world against the best fields possible. He has shot even par 72 once. Every other round is under par. It's crazy. He's playing a different game than everyone else. So while we didn't really get the drama we were looking for from a competitive standpoint, we did see the other golfers in contention kind of soil themselves and hit it in the water and hit it in the bushes and make bogey and make double bogey and play their way out of it. And Scheffler just plugs along in the most boring fashion possible and is simply one of the greatest players I've ever seen. Now, I was talking with some friends. New friends, people that we've met down here. Yesterday, I said, this is probably a 5-year run. What we normally see with these golfers is about a 5-year run. Jordan Spieth had a pretty good 3 or 4 year run. Dustin Johnson was maybe the best player in the world for 4 or 5 years. Rory McIlroy had a 5-year run where he won a bunch of majors and hasn't won since. So I don't think we can really look at Scottie Scheffler and say, we know what this is. This is Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus, and he's going to go win 15 majors. I don't look at him like that. I look at him as he's 27 years old. He is right in the throes of this thing, playing the best possible golf for 2 years that he has. He has 9 victories in 2 years, including 2 Masters jackets. That's fantastic. But generally speaking, these runs don't last more than 5 years. So we will see what Scottie Scheffler does with that. But short of somehow his iron game going south on him, I don't know how anybody beats this guy. He hits it so close to the hole. A terrific champion and a faithful man, and I'm pretty certain a great conservative. He's from Texas, and a lot of folks around these parts like him. He played at the University of Texas just down the street from where we're staying. Scottie Scheffler is something else. Congratulations to the Masters champ. The Royals lost 2-1 to the Mets on Sunday and lose 2 out of 3 in this series. Salvi went out of the game on Sunday with a groin injury on a collision play at home plate. It was a fluky play that the Mets were able to beat the Royals on, essentially. It was a, we used to call them slug bunts. The ball went about 20 feet, and the Mets beat the Royals 2-1. Cole Reagans was insane again. He's pitched 6 innings scoreless, 8 strikeouts. It's just kind of a given every game out now with Cole Reagans, Brady Singer, Seth Lugo. These guys are having really, really, really great starts. The Royals move on from the Mets and play Chicago for 3, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then they come home for a big homestand again, the Orioles and the Blue Jays. The Royals' schedule is home front-loaded. And, they've tasted first place now. They've played well. They're doing a lot of things right. And it will be, and they've played great, sensational baseball at home after those first 2 losses to the Twins to open the season. This is how you do it. We know this formula. You dominate at home. You survive on the road. That will work for the Royals. And while they did lose 2 out of 3, there was a lot to like in what they did on Sunday. I mean, when you're pitching like that, you're going to lose some 2-1 games. It's going to happen. Chris Stratton came in out of the bullpen, and I seem to be mentioning Chris Stratton on the podcast way too much. He walked 4 batters, and you just can't do that. You can't have a pitcher's duel, a couple of great starting pitchers, and then bring relievers in and have them walk 4 batters and walk their way into a jam. But that's what happened with Stratton on Sunday, and the Royals do lose 2 out of 3 to the Mets. But man, I'm absolutely shocked. These 2 dudes we were playing golf with from Houston were like, what is up with the Royals? Because they're Astros fans. The Royals just pummeled the Astros. They're like, we're really good. And the Royals, I said, yeah, I can't explain it. I said, I don't know. They lost 106 games last year, and we thought they were going to stink. They only brought 6 players back and remade the whole roster. And what we're seeing is legit. It's real. And it's something that's repeatable. We can see what the Royals are doing, and many, many times it is repeatable, and that's kind of fun. Saturday night at Arrowhead Stadium, Sporting Kansas City falls to Inter Miami and Lionel Messi, who scored a goal and people went crazy. 72,610 people in attendance, including Patrick Mahomes, who was there wearing a Sporting shirt, and he wanted to meet Messi, of course. This is maybe it's the greatest soccer player on earth and the greatest football player on earth meeting each other at Arrowhead Stadium. And I've always had a little bit of trouble with soccer in one regard. And that is the 72,000 people, they didn't show up to see Sporting, they showed up to see Messi, which I understand. But when he scores against your team and you're cheering and you're shaking and you're thrilled and you're excited because you saw him score against your team and your team loses, I don't get that. I didn't grow up rooting for Reggie Jackson to hit home runs against the Royals. I distinctly remember a few years ago, my daughter and Jessica at Arrowhead Stadium for the AFC Championship game, and Tom Brady came in. This was Mahomes' first year as the starter. I distinctly remember saying, it wouldn't kill me if he pulled a hammy here and didn't finish this game. I didn't go to that game at Arrowhead Stadium that day to see Tom Brady win another AFC Championship and go to the Super Bowl. That's what I got. I saw the greatest quarterback of all time. I saw it, I witnessed it, but I didn't like it, and I didn't cheer for him. Not sure I understand that with soccer. And many of you are season ticket holders, and you've said to me that you were disappointed this game was moved to Arrowhead from Sporting Park, where your season tickets exist, and you would have had a much better view of the pitch and Messi and all those things. But I got to give him credit. This was a spectacular setting. It was an incredible event. It was a very good soccer game. 3-2, take the scoring. Sporting Kansas City's good this year. But in some weird way, I just thought it was kind of strange that Sporting fans get so excited that Messi scores and their team lost. That is indeed what happened Saturday night in an absolute spectacle. It was a really, really, really cool thing to see at Arrowhead Stadium. Congratulations to Sporting Kansas City and the Chiefs for pulling this off and giving us a taste of what the World Cup may look like at Arrowhead when it comes in a couple of years. Pretty cool stuff. All right, as we transition to a news headline, we want to thank our sponsors for supporting the podcast. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. They're online at crosskitchenskc.com. Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC in Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty, online at robertsrobinson.com. And Advantage Termite and Pest Control is online at advantagetpc.com. To see all of our sponsors and support great conservative businesses, go to the KK List. TheKKList.com is where you will find them all. All of our sponsors are right there in one neat page. And the phone numbers are attached, website links, things like that. It's pretty cool. Just go right there if you want to try to support a great local conservative business, TheKKList.com. The New York Times has put a poll out, and this is a different kind of Trump poll, as they're he's in this trial this week. It's ridiculous, this hush money trial. So, you know, it's going to be slam Trump, slam Trump, slam Trump week for all the people on the left. But over the weekend, the New York Times released new polling that is a different kind of poll. This wasn't who are you voting for. It was asking questions. And it asked what I thought was a very interesting poll question, which I've not heard asked before. And the poll question they asked is the word remember. The question of the voters is, how do you remember Trump as president? How do you remember him as president? Was he good for America? 42% say yes. In the same poll, they asked the same question about Joe Biden. How do you remember Joe Biden's term, his presidency? Has he been good for America? And only 25% of the people said yes, good for America. Donald Trump has a 17-point lead, basically on job approval. We're looking at two presidents here and the job that they did, and America's looking back on Trump fondly, which is remarkable considering the attacks and the media and the trials and all of the things going on. It is remarkable that people remember it that way, but they do remember a better time. They remember a better economy, lower interest rates, cheap gas, no inflation. They remember it all. American voters in this poll, they remember the Trump years as good years. He has a 30-point lead in this poll on the economy over Joe Biden. No, he doesn't have 30% of the people approve of him in the economy. He's up in the 60s. If you ask Trump economy, where does he, 60 percentile of people say, yeah, he was good for the economy. He has a 30-point lead on the economy over Joe Biden. He has an 18-point lead over immigration. You'd almost think immigration would be the massive one, that that's where he'd have the huge lead. He's got a 9-point lead in law and order. I would think that would be higher than Joe Biden, but maybe a lot of people don't feel it or see it or follow some of the crime stats, the things that are going on out there. But it's a whopper of a poll for Trump, because this is just, this is not who are you voting for. This is, what do you think of these guys? And they ask very specific questions. And a 30-point lead on the economy seems like something that's completely insurmountable for Joe Biden. There's no way that he'll be able to overcome that. Now, the question is, what happens with the Federal Reserve, the interest rates, the economy between now and November? We never want to wish away our lives or wish away any time, but November cannot get here fast enough, because Trump would win today. And I think we all know and understand, accept, and appreciate that. A really good poll there from the New York Times. Trump, good for America. I like that. People remember him as good for America. I remember him that way. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that have buyer's remorse. Maybe some people did switch their votes in 2020 and went with Biden and said, I've got Trump fatigue, and voted the other way. Maybe that happened. If they did, if somebody voted for Trump in 16 and not in 20, they're all coming back. There will not be one person anywhere that doesn't vote for him this time, because there just has to be remarkable buyer's remorse with Joe Biden and what has transpired under this presidency. Okay, we'll be back at it in full swing on Tuesday at KKHI. Like I said, this one's a little different than most of the podcasts as we're out on the road. It was great catching up. Thank you, as always, for hitting that play button and supporting our sponsors at thekklist.com. And we'll have the regular pods coming back up beginning Tuesday, right here at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.